all sorts of things that we can think of bring us joy. Getting the all clear from the doctor. Having a snow day from school, I stuck down here. All sorts of things that really, really bring us joy, which is great, being with a family. But you know, I want to say, there is no joy like the joy of finding something you've lost. There's different kinds of joy, isn't there? I mean, the joy that you get from a Magnum is very different from the joy that you have from having your grandson come round. It's a different type of joy, I think. But there is no joy like the joy of finding something that you've lost. You know, last week I had to go and speak in a different church. It was miles away. It took me ages. It was like nearly in another county. It was Capel St. Mary. And I went into church, and I went into the church, and I had in my hands, I had my Bible, which was very important. I had my umbrella. I had the memory stick with the things that were going to go up on the screen, and I had my car keys. So as soon as I arrived, the first thing I did was I went to the person who controlled the computer at the back, and I stuck my things down, just like that, on a chair, and I gave them the memory stick, and the memory stick all got loaded up, and everything was working. It was absolutely brilliant, and the service went through fine, and it was good. Cup of tea at the end, spoke to everybody, time to go home. Where's my car keys? So I thought, where have I been? Where's my car keys? And I went around the whole place and I said to people, I did say this. I said, you get people here and you call them your friends, then you fleece them with their car keys. That's what I said. I said, what sort of church is this? And they were all looking and they were saying, don't worry, we'll make sure you get home. The thought of me staying there for even longer was too much. And I went, absolutely, and I thought, what? And I thought, I had my umbrella with me. If I find my umbrella, I might find my car keys. And I still went around all over the place. Somebody offered me an umbrella that was not my umbrella. And eventually, somebody came and said, here they are. And where I'd put them was by the PA desk, you know, where I'd given them the memory stick. So as I'd handed that in, I'd put those down, forgotten all about it with a service to do, and it was just a nightmare. I was thinking, what am I going to do? My car's out there. I need to get home. There's things to do. They don't want me here, living here for a week till next Sunday so I can do all this again. And then I found it. And it's kind of relief. It's joy. It's just such a good feeling. There is no joy like finding something that has been lost. Absolutely true. It's a joy which is different from any other sort of joy. It just feels wonderful. Now, I've asked you a question. But the passage we started with earlier in the service that we had from Luke chapter 15, it starts more with a criticism. We're told that Jesus was with the tax collectors and the sinners. Now, the tax collectors back in those days, the way that they made money was that they fiddled people. They weren't really given much of a wage, and so the way they did it was that they sort of creamed some money off the top. So when somebody came to pay taxes, they asked him for a little bit more so that they had money for themselves. That doesn't happen today anymore. We're very fortunate, but that's what happened. And people absolutely loathed and hated the tax collectors. And there were other people who used to hang around them who weren't really living in a way that pleased God either. And Jesus used to spend time with these people. In fact, he got called the friend of sinners, which I think is probably quite a good title for the Lord Jesus. But the very religious people, the Pharisees who wanted everything to be absolutely just done right, they made 610 new laws so that they could be perfect. And the teachers of the law, they thought it was just awful, despicable that somebody like Jesus would hang around with people who weren't living as they should be. And so in the passage that we read, were told that they said this: the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with him." They were having a go. They were criticizing him. It wasn't the sort of person that they thought should really be representing God. And Jesus picked up on their mutter and their criticism. And he kind of answers the question which is behind the muttering and the criticism, which is basically, you're asking me, why do I hang out with people like this? Well, let me tell you a story. On some of these Sunday mornings we're doing, aren't we? Let me tell you a story. And in Luke chapter 15, there's three great stories, and we read the first two this morning about a lost sheep and a lost coin. And he told this story to explain why he hung out with tax collectors and sinners. Why did he spend time with people who were doing things that weren't right? And so he told this story. He told a story about a man, and he had 100 sheep. He knew his sheep. He spent time with his sheep. He'd handle his sheep. He'd probably know each one of them as that sheep. He'd probably know that that sheep wasn't that sheep, and this sheep was this sheep, and he'd know his sheep really, really well. And one day he gathered them all together. He had 100 of these things, and he's going 96, 97, 98, 99. Wait a minute, that can't be right. I've got 100 sheep. We'll just run that through again. 96, stop, just stand still with you over there, please. 96, 97, I've got you before over there. 90, what was it up to? 97, was it? 98, 99. There's one missing. A sheep. And his sheep was really precious to him. He looked after his sheep. Those were his livelihood. They were things that he owned that he really cared about. And so he got the sheep that were there, the 99, he put them somewhere safe, and he thought to himself, I better go and find this sheep that's lost. I wonder where it could be. And so he sets off looking for the sheep that's missing. He looks around the place where he lives. He looks in the shed. There's no sheep in there. He looks behind the hedge. There's no sheep in there either. He begins to move out from where he is, doing a search, going further and further. And we're rushing a little bit here, and eventually goes to a high point, and he has a look over the high point, and he tries to scan the horizon to see if he can see the sheep anywhere. But no, there didn't seem to be a sheep anywhere. The day was getting on. He was beginning to get hungry. Did that go back? Right, we're moving on now. He was getting a bit hungry, a bit hot. The middle of the day, it was really hard work. His feet would be getting sore. And yet he continued to look for his sheep. Everywhere he thought the sheep could be, he went looking for it. The day wore on, but he simply wouldn't give up. And then at last, he sees his sheep. It had got stuck in a river. I don't think the Bible says that, but I'm going to put that bit in just for this morning, okay? In our story, that's a kind of clone of it, he saw it stuck in a river. And seeing the sheep, what did he do? Spladoosh! In he goes to rescue the sheep and to haul it out. And he gets that sheep, and sheep in our country tend to be great big beasts because we eat them. But in other parts of the world, they don't keep them in order to eat them necessarily, and the sheep there tend to be smaller. And so he gets this sheep, and he sticks it up on his shoulder, and he brings it safely home. And how's he looking, the man who owns the sheep, now that he's found his sheep? How's he looking? He's looking pretty happy, isn't he? He's absolutely thrilled that he's found the sheep. He's so merry. He's full of joy. Where did Mary come from? I don't know. He's so happy. He's just absolutely thrilled that after his search, he's found the sheep. And the sheep that was lost away from him, he's got it back. And he can bring it back to join all the others. And it's a real welcome home. All the sheep look pretty excited to see them. I don't know if they're worshipping the Lord there or what, but they all look pretty chuffed. And he says to his friends and his neighbors, that's interesting. It's not just his friends, he says to his neighbors. So like everyone who's round about him, he says, brilliant, come and rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep. He's absolutely thrilled. There is no joy like finding something that is lost. And it's a great story because we think of Jesus being like the farmer, the shepherd, who came to seek and to save what was lost. A few chapters later on, when Jesus meets a tax collector called Zacchaeus, and he was a rotter, when Jesus met him, and Zacchaeus' life was completely changed through meeting Jesus, Jesus finishes by saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus comes to save. People who are lost and away from God, Jesus comes looking for you. And he longs more than anything else that you will be found and that you will join the others who know and worship the Lord Jesus. Jesus came into our world as Savior. He is God. He came into our world. He lived here. He lived a perfect life. He cared so much for people. He was so wise in all the things he said. And yet he was killed on a cross. But through his death on the cross, our sin can be forgiven. And we can know God forever. And you know, that's great news. And it's something all of us have got a responsibility to think about and to respond to. It's great news. And in the story, of course, it's great news for the sheep, isn't it? That the sheep was found and it came back. But you know, as I was thinking about this passage, particularly during this week, I kind of thought, you know, this story isn't just about the sheep. It's not just about people being found. This story actually tells us something really important about God. It's not just about you and me, this story. Because the question Jesus was being asked was, you know, well, why are you bothering with these people? And I suppose it's because they're lost. But the conclusion at the end of each parable is actually a little bit more than that. It's about heaven, and it's about God's heart. It's about the joy that God knows when lost people come back to him. So let's just think very quickly about the story again. And I've just got some symbols to try and help us. And the first one up here, there we go. In the story, it was the man, wasn't it? Oh, what's going on here? What's happened? For Jesus, it was facing criticism for meeting with people like this. For God, it's, I've provided everything for people. What's going on? What is it that takes people away from me? And the man in the story who lost the sheep, I think he was quite sad. And as we'll see the next one, I think the Lord Jesus was really sad. That people were muttering and mumbling against him again. Here he has his heart for all people. And yet he's being criticized by the people who should know better. And God, he's grieved. He's sad that people are away from him. It really grieves God when he looks at this world and he sees so many people who are just pushed God to the edge of their lives. Well, in the story that Jesus told, the man went out and looked, didn't he? And he went and looked. And why did Jesus come into the world? Well, he said he came to seek and to save. He came looking for people who need him. And God's purpose in sending Jesus into the world was that through Jesus, he would seek out people. He would look for people. And God is looking, even this morning, for those who will say, I will come to you and I will follow you and I will go your way. And of course, there comes the point in the story where, well, the man, he finds the sheep. He's quite, whoo, he's really pleased about it, isn't he? There we go. He's really, really pleased. And Jesus is answering the question. He said, you're asking me why I spend time with these people? Because there's nothing better than when lost people come back to God. And that's why I came. And that delights my heart. That really brings me joy. And in fact, if you have a problem with that, you think about what happens in heaven. When one lost person comes back, when one person repents, someone's going in this direction away from God, and when they turn around and they begin walking with God and going with him in the direction that he wants for their lives, when they turn around and when they trust, well, the Lord Jesus was alive at this point in the parable, but as we look back, we can say, as people trust in the Lord Jesus, it brings joy in heaven. It delights God's heart. And so you're asking me why I spend time with the sinners and people like that? Because when people turn around and they start going God's way, that thrills God. It brings delight to him. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. God is grieved when, God is sad, God is grieved when we are going our own way and we're going away from him. And God is joyful. He is happy when people are in line with him and going the way that he wants in our lives. And so Jesus comes to rescue, but as we come to the Lord Jesus and as we go God's way, it brings joy in heaven. And if we want to make God happy, perhaps that's a strange way of talking about it this morning, but if we want to bring joy to God, and if we want him to be happy, not that God needs our happiness, which is another question, but in terms of what I'm talking about this morning, then we have to turn around, and we have to trust in him, and we have to go in his direction. And so the lost coin, the lost sheep, they're all pictures of this one thing that we're thinking about this morning. There is no joy like the joy of finding something that is lost. And God's desire for all of us this morning is that everyone in this room would be people who are actually going God's way, trusting in him, and that would bring him joy. So the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin. It's about someone who goes and looks and finds those things. But it's also, I think, very, very much about bringing joy to God and doing what he wants us to do in our lives. And when we do what he wants us to do, then he is happy and he is pleased.